You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're here with my good friend, Starchitect Kobe Karp, based here in Miami, but he's got a practice that's international. Let's talk a little bit about that. Kobe, tell me a little bit about some of the stuff that you've done overseas and how you can bring some of that stuff home, the things you learn, the different technologies and stuff.
Look, we just finished a very interesting project in Cape Town, South Africa. It's a condominium right on Muli Point where the lighthouse is.
Oh, how cool. Is that like the southernmost point in the universe?
No, but it's pretty darn close. It's a beautiful place to watch the whales go by.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. And the project is called Amalfi, and it's right on the golf course and on Muli Point. It's a very nice location. And another one we just finished, very interesting, in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Really?
Yes, there's a town called Jeddah. And in Jeddah, we finished a project, a hotel project for Nabula, N-O-B-O-L-A. It's a very interesting hotel, very close to the Kaaba. You can stay there and you can walk to the Kaaba. And it's very interesting. I love working together with architects from the kingdom, and I love working there. It's I find it very fascinating.
What's one of the things that you find most interesting in Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia is interestingly very American. When you drive on the road and when you're on the bridges, you feel it's been really designed by American engineers. And it's such a unique community that Jeddah and Mecca and Medina are all very close to each other. And then you drive to other locations like Riyadh. It's a very beautiful, very scenic, picturesque. You know, first I watched Lawrence of Arabia many years ago, and I am from the Middle East, but the dunes and the deserts are just so colorful, gorgeous, beautiful country.
Now, is there something when you work in Saudi Arabia that you learn that you can bring back to the United States, or maybe what makes a project in Saudi Arabia different than one in the United States? Same building, different location.
It is different. It's the culture is different. The society is different. So, for example, we just did a design in Queen Efat University, which is in Jeddah. Mm-hmm. The hotel we did is in Mecca. In Jeddah, it's basically the concept was it's very hot. It's 120 degrees Fahrenheit in the shade. When you're in a university, you basically walk from building to building outside. So we wanted to protect you from the sun. So what we did is we lifted up the library and we floated it up in the air so that it's shaded underneath.
Oh,
and use that area for that shaded area for people to congregate, have something cold to drink. And then if they want to, they walk up and ascend up to the library. The library is shaped in a section of a book. Where the hard bind of the book is a structure. Vincent de Simone, may he rest in peace, designed it for us. And the edges of the book were all in glass so that when you see into the book itself, it's all glass and it's written all sorts of thoughtful sentences from the Quran. So the idea is that you ascend up to the book, to the Quran, and you walk in. And when you're in, you're surrounded by the light that is to the north. But then you're underneath, you're shaded and protected by the book.
What a beautiful concept. The light in the book, and it's in Mecca, and it's got the Quran, the Quranic verses. That's beautiful.
Yes.
That's really that's really nice.
Yeah.
So then what's the difference between a condo in South Africa and a condo in South Beach?
Big difference.
Tell me.
The condo in South Africa, interesting enough, it's on the ocean.
Okay.
And because of the elements, the buildings take a lot of wear and tear. So most of the buildings in Cape Town, South Africa, along Muli Point were built in stucco. We came along and we said, wouldn't it be nice if we took the buildings and did the reverse? Meaning because the views there are phenomenal. You can look to the golf course. You can look to the ocean. You can see how beautiful the whales are when they go by. What we decided to do is make the building like a crystal box. So we used a dark shaded tint, and we contrast with the whole neighborhood, but we're standing like a modern sculptural glass volume, and it's faceted because some of the minerals and the stones and the diamonds and the jades that you find around Cape Town, South Africa have that kind of a shape. And that's what we took on. And it also allowed us to make the building a bit more sustainable, more resilient, and use local materials.
So what makes a building more sustainable and more resilient? Because that's something that's really important here with the winds and the rain and all that other stuff, the humidity even.
Very good question. What happens is that you want to create a building that is made of the local materials. When you look back I studied monasteries and churches around the Alps. And the Alps are sitting in the middle of Europe. And when a monk wants to build a monastery on top of the mountain, he or she used the stone that is local. And then you start to pile them one on top of another. And that's how you start to create your structure.
Right.
So you use environmentally correct and local materials. When you are I'm in Alaska and I work in Alaska and I worked in Bethel and lived in Bethel, Alaska, we were able to take ice. And when you take the ice and you pack it up together, and you can make it an igloo or you can make it any other shape and live within it, it's a very sustainable structure. Those are the kind of things that you need to think about. You said I lived in the Caribbean. I designed many hotels and resorts in the Caribbean. And we do that in a very culturally correct, environmentally sustainable. And that's how we also get the buildings to last longer and be more efficient.
What's your favorite local material to work with?
My favorite local material here in Miami is terrazzo. I love terrazzo. Terrazzo is concrete. I can take it. I can pour it. I can leave it gray. I can polish it. I can put colors in it.
It's beautiful. I love it.
I can put little pieces of metal in it. I can put fish bones. I can put pieces of art in there. I can put sand. I can put coral. I can put shells in it. For me, terrazzo is one of the most beautiful materials that I can work with. And it also gives you an ability to walk on it barefoot and gives you the barefoot elegant sort of materials that lasts a lifetime indoor and outdoor.
You know, it's amazing that you'd pick that as your material, because when we moved here from New Jersey in the 60s and we moved into our house and the house didn't have carpet, it had terrazzo floors. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. Now when I go to the buildings, I look for the terrazzo as a marker it just gives me a feel of being in Miami.
It does. And it has a sense of luxury. You know, when I first started to restore the Astor Hotel back in 1993 for Kareem Masri, the quality and the quantity of terrazzo there was superior. And it's such a pleasure to preserve and restore those buildings. And to think back that 100 years ago, it is 100 years ago, that people used terrazzo in such an elegant and eloquent manner. It really shows you how great it was and how great the vision was. When people came here originally 100 years ago and to build these structures, and how great it has been.
Kobe, there's a new kind of concept coming up in multifamily design where people are co-living. It's sort of like the post-dorm era in the high-rise residential, but also in single-family residential, you're having many more multi-generational situations coming up. I've got to believe there's a lot of our friends that have parents that are going to move into their house rather than putting them in a facility. Are you starting to get assignments that talk about these multi-generational and multi-locational living things?
Look, for me, this is old news. I was born and I lived in Israel, where it's a kibbutz and people share the housing and they share the spaces that they cohabitate. The older generation lives with the younger generation, and it's beneficial for the younger generation to spend time with the older generation. And it's so healthy for the older generation to spend time with the younger generation. That kind of a thought process strengthens the society, and it does not necessarily mean that you have to live with your grandparents. You can live with people who are of the older generation, and older generation can live with the younger generation, and they don't need to be necessarily immediate family, but by them living together, it makes the younger generation so much wiser, and it makes the older generation live so much longer and healthier. And I'll give you a few examples. We're designing a few projects right now, both high-rise and low-rise. And you know me, I do affordable housing like the historic Lyric residences in Overtown,
right,
as well as I can do the new Four Seasons, which is starting construction now in Fort Lauderdale.
Beautiful.
People have an ability to live with each other. The residential with the hospitality hotel resort is one way to bring people together. One way to bring people together is affordable housing next to market rate. And further, what we're doing now is we're using smaller units that basically then give you an ability to sleep in them and reside in them, yet we share all the common and all the limited common areas, all the amenities, all the lounges, all the libraries, everything gets shared. So your living room is a shared living space. But your privacy, which is critical and important for your physical and mental well-being, is what you get. And that happens to be a space which is very efficient, which is very well appointed. It has beautiful technology, beautiful plasma TV. Plasma TV shows you how old I am, right?
Yeah.
But LED, LCD. You have the space.
I still have a fabulous plasma TV. It's terrific.
Yes, sir. But if you look at the tube TV, which used to be 3 feet deep and used to take up inside a cabinet, the space it would take up inside, we got rid of all of that. We don't need that.
Gave us 3 more feet in the build, in the room.
Boom. And now what you have is you have an ability to make a more efficient, a more luxurious space for somebody to habitate and cohabitate. And that's what we're about.
So is it like dorms?
Sort of like dorms,
yes. Yeah, they are.
But better.
Much better. I'll give you an example. My son just went to UCLA for the summer. He was sharing it with 3 other boys. Their bathrooms were even not private. Their bathroom was semi-private. And then all of the living spaces were shared living spaces, and it was pure luxury. He did not want to leave, nor did they. And they got to know each other, and they were became so much better individuals and so much better friends. And then those groups started to come together in those spaces where they can commingle, they can share their thoughts and spend the afternoons and the evenings and the mornings together. And that's what makes it interesting, because when people come back from their school or from their work or from the hospital or from their trips, they share a lot more.
Oh, Kobe, can you stay one more segment? We've got can we one more segment? Go to break.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, I'll delay my Uber.
Okay, thank you so much. we'll let the guys sit
outside.
I'll take
you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Wanda, one more segment for Kobe. Give us some music here.
Thank you, Wanda.